recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place.
This is Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge, a ministry dedicated to reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and challenging believers to reach their maximum potential in Christ. That verse from the book of Luke seems even more pertinent today. Bill was seeing prophecies fulfilled even before the latest war between Israel and Hamas began recently. Now, with a message titled, When Will You Believe? Here's Bill Rudge.
We're going to look at Luke chapter 21, verses 28 to 33. But when these things, what are these things Jesus is talking about? He's talking about the message he gave in the Olivet Discourse. And it's recorded in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. That's how significant it is. So when these things begin to take place, strengthen up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, as soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, many of you have pre-recorded games, you know, football games, soccer games, because you did not have time to watch them. And so you want to go do whatever you're going to do and then come back and watch it later on. And perhaps maybe in the course of doing that, someone might have given you the score, or you might have heard it on the news, and all of a sudden now what you want to watch, you already know the end result. But nevertheless, because of curiosity and interest, you still go ahead and view that game, knowing that even though your team might be losing in the third quarter, fourth quarter, you know the end result. You know how it all ends up. And so that is the way it is with what's coming on the world, the times in which we live. We know the end result. I've studied scripture repeatedly, and what I've written is not based on contemporary issues, you know, and current trends and current events, but on what I see in the Word of God. And so everything that we see playing out are merely stepping stones leading us to that ultimate destination. Let me explain it in this capacity. I heard about two friends that were going to watch a movie on the Lone Ranger. Now, he was back, you know, back in the 60s, and he was a, you know, Western hero and fought for the law. And when they went there, they made a wager. The one friend said to the other, I will bet you that the Lone Ranger gets shot. And his friend said, no, I will bet you the Lone Ranger does not get shot. Well, they sit and they watch the movie, and sure enough, the Lone Ranger gets shot in the shoulder. So at the end of the movie, he's collecting from his friend, and he says, you know what, I got to confess to you. I had already seen the movie. I knew he got shot. But his friend said, that's no problem. I saw it four times, and I thought for sure this time he would duck. And that's the way it is with many believers today. We see all these signs lining up, being fulfilled of what seemed like just 20 years ago was an impossibility. And yet we sometimes often don't want to believe that's inevitable, that they're about to come about. So we're going to start with the assumption today that all of us are skeptical, okay? Let's play like we're skeptics and we're really not convinced that we are the generation that things are happening. So we're going to get a little bit of a glimpse of just a few of the prophecies to see whether we might be that generation or not. Now, I love to read prophetic scripture in Revelation. I've read it many times, so I read it in different perspectives. So one time I read it like it's all science fiction. Read the whole book, it's nothing but science fiction, okay? Another time I read it like it's just symbolic language. It has no real literal meaning, it's just symbolic. God's just trying to convey to me that, hey, just keep on. You're going to face difficulties, but in the end, you'll win. It'll work out. I'll defeat Satan. And then the third way I often read it is as though it's already been fulfilled. Everything in Revelation was fulfilled back in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and exiled the people. And then the fourth way I read it is from a premillennial point of view, that what is written in Revelation is going to be literally fulfilled. Now, I know there's much symbolism there, but I read it as though that symbolism is rooted in reality. If I said to you, fire, get out of here like the speed of lightning, now you know exactly what I mean. I'm using symbolic language about getting out of here like the speed of lightning, but I have a reality of the concept I'm saying. And therefore, as you study the Hebrew Bible and learn that symbolism and understand the literal fulfillment of many of those different things, you realize that only one view makes sense. And that is when you read Revelation from a perspective that it's going to one day be fulfilled, repeated too many times in too many ways for it just to be a little nice message or have already been fulfilled. There are things that have not yet happened in 70 AD or any time else. So we can conclude that. So we're going to look at some of these concepts to see if maybe we could be that generation. But in order to understand this, we've got to get a quick background on the Olivet Discourse. What I read to you was an excerpt from the Olivet Discourse, what Jesus gave shortly before his crucifixion on the Mount of Olives, okay? So you have the Garden of Gethsemane over here on the Mount of Olives. From that vantage point, you can see across the Kidron Valley into the city of Jerusalem and the glory of the temple. It was one of the most magnificent buildings of that day. It was plated with gold. When the sun would rise from the east, it would shine, and for miles you could see its glory. And that's the temple image that they have while they're sitting there talking to Jesus about when will these things be fulfilled and what's going to be the sign of your coming. But let's go back a little bit further than where we're there. We have, during Jeremiah's time, he is prophesying about apostate Israel, much like our nation today, that has rejected much of the word of God and distanced themselves from the laws and truth of God. In Jeremiah's day, they had become apostate, and he prophesied for 40 years that unless you repent, God is going to destroy this nation. Here's what he said. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words by saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You see, as Jeremiah prophesied, they would say, it will never happen, Jeremiah. You're a false prophet. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. God will never let it be destroyed. But in 586 BC, under Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, it was completely destroyed. You never read of the Ark of the Covenant again after that point. My theory is that they buried it underneath somewhere, and I believe that one day they will find it. They're trying to do excavations right now. And there's a little tunnel when I was over there in Israel that they have barricaded because it will lead to a jihad where they want to get behind there because they believe that will lead them to that and also to the closest point above where the Holy of Holies was at for the rebuilding of that temple. So after 70 years of exile for their disobedience and apostasy to God, they come back to the land of Israel. And then they rebuild the second temple. And the second temple was inadequate compared to Solomon's temple, but along come in 20 BC, Herod the Great. Now, he was not great in the sense he was a great person, he was a butcher, but he was great in the sense that he was a phenomenal builder. And to appease the Jews, he wanted to expand and beautify their temple. So in 20 BC, he began this amazing reconstruction add-on of the temple. He took the Temple Mount area, which was the Mount of Moriah, where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and it was more like a mountain, and he completely turned that in, filled it in, and put retaining walls around it, and leveled that off to make it the temple complex it is today. So when the Jews go over there and pray at their Wailing Wall, all that is part of the retaining wall, just a small section of the retaining wall. That's all that's left. The temple on top and everything else was completely decimated by the Romans. And so Herod did not complete building that in his lifetime. Matter of fact, when it was destroyed in 70 AD, they were still working on improvements and additions to the temple. And so we have in 70 AD now, Titus comes along, the Roman general, and after rebellion by the Jews, he does what Jesus foretold. Remember on the triumphal entry when Jesus is entering and he stops and weeps over Jerusalem? And he said, if only you knew this day, and in so many words, received him as the Messiah, but because you did not, they will build up an embankment around you. They will hem you in on every side. They will dash your children to the ground. That's literally what happened in 70 AD. Titus built encampments around there, starved the people. And from April 9 of 70 AD until September of that same year, when he completely decimated the temple and killed hundreds of thousands. Jerusalem was swollen by that time. Why? April 9? Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they were all trapped in there. And Jesus' words were fulfilled. And they were exiled. And now that leads us to Jesus' words to his disciples and the problem that we have today. You see, up until 1948, there was no nation of Israel. It was gone. And that's why many Christians and many leaders took the perspective that it's all symbolic. It either happened in 70 AD because God's not a liar, or it's just symbolic and spiritual because now God's given these promises to the church. But God is not a liar. He made very specific promises to Israel, promised to restore them to the land. And guess what? May 14th, 1948, it took the Holocaust, but that's what caused the nations of the world to become sympathetic and allow the Jews to go back and begin a new homeland. Never before in the history of the world has a nation lost their identity, been exiled, lost their language, and been restored. But God promised that. And so the prophetic clock that could not tick before because there was no nation of Israel to begin to fulfill the prophecies is now back in place. That's an amazing miracle right there. And then we see in Matthew 24, 2, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. How was that fulfilled? I was over in Jerusalem just in April of this year, and I saw some of the stones that were thrown down from the temple area. Why did that happen that way? Titus got all kinds of wood, chopped down trees, took wood and flammable items, put it around the walls of the temple, lit it on fire. The heat was so intense that it actually caused the stones to crumble. The gold plates in front melted between the stones and in the rubble. And they would go through and sift everything to retrieve the gold the Romans did, and then they would just throw the stones over that were still left remaining, literally fulfilling what Jesus had said for our generation or for his generation, what we can see to this very day.
Amen. Well, that's some good background, and we'll get into some actual prophecy next time. You've been listening to Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge. You can learn more about this ministry at billrudge.org. That's BILLRUDGE.ORG. Or write us at Living Truth for Today, P.O. Box 108, Sharon, Pennsylvania, 16146. Please pray for this ministry as we strive to reach out in Jesus' name. And thank you for listening.